Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. A new survey finds support for new nuclear power plants in the Golden State is at an all-time low. That might not be surprising in the wake of the disaster in Japan, but as Gretchen Weber of our Climate Watch project reports, support for other kinds of carbon-free power is riding high.
The survey by the Public Policy Institute of California found 3/4 of us believe climate change is a serious threat to the state's economy, and a majority thinks we need to act now to reduce emissions.
Californians really believe that in our state there's an opportunity to have a better environment and a better economy through addressing climate change.
Mark Baldessari directed the survey and says Californians believe by a 2-to-1 margin that climate change policies, like requiring more renewable energy, will create jobs. The survey also finds overwhelming bipartisan support for more fuel-efficient cars, greener buildings and appliances, and for requiring industry to reduce emissions. But how? That's where we're divided. Baldessari says just over half of Californians support cap and trade, one of the state's main strategies for reducing emissions.
Cap and trade is a very confusing policy to most Californians. They are still trying to grasp what it's all about.
In effect, it caps how much power plants and refineries can pollute as a whole, but allows individual facilities the flexibility to either buy or sell emissions credits. More of us favor a straight carbon tax on emitters, which is not currently part of the state's plans. For the California Report, I'm Gretchen Weber.
Critics of red light cameras complain their real focus is revenue generation, not traffic safety. In Los Angeles, for instance, most of the more than 180,000 tickets issued since its program began in 2004 have been for illegal right turns, not speeding through intersections. But those concerns would not explain why the LA City Council has voted unanimously to shut down the city's camera program as of this Sunday. It has come to light the hefty ticket fines are voluntary for many city officials and others wise to the fact the LA County Superior Court does not pursue those who ignore the citations. The program has been losing $1.5 million a year. There's no indication upstanding drivers who paid their fines will ever see a refund. All of us experience pain. Headaches, stubbed toes, backaches, and worse. But how pain works is still a mystery in many ways to scientists. Researchers at UC Berkeley are looking for answers with the help of a little creature that's got an extraordinary nose. Lauren Summer explains.
Like any normal 9-year-old, Maddie Burkhart was playing outside with her friends last summer, racing around in a pedal go-kart.
And my foot slipped and it went under the go-kart like it got bent backwards.
Maddie broke a bone in her foot, so her mom, Danielle, took her to see a podiatrist who put her in a series of casts.
And every time he took the cast off, he said, okay, you should feel much better now. And she was just like, no, it's killing me.
It felt like there was like knives in my foot, like a big elephant smashing on your foot or something.
Maddie was diagnosed with complex regional pain syndrome and ended up in a special treatment program at Lucile Packard Children's Hospital in Palo Alto. Dr. Elliot Crane heads the program.
Most of the time, pain is the signal that there's a problem, and it's a useful sensation to have and a protective one.
But Crane says sometimes our body's warning system goes haywire, like in Maddie's case. Nerve cells send out pain signals even when there's no reason to. Crane says Maddie, like most patients, went through a slew of treatments, like physical therapy and pain medication. It took months to recover. For the most part, doctors rely on opiates, like morphine, to control pain. But those drugs aren't very targeted. The challenge is that pain is very difficult to study.
There's other things in the other processes in the body which are measurable in some objective fashion, heart rate, blood pressure, temperature. But how do you measure pain?
Many people are trying to figure out how to do this. And we decided to look to nature to solve this problem.
Diana Bautista is an assistant professor of biology at the University of California, Berkeley. She's peering into a large plastic tub filled with dirt.
So if you look here in the corner of the dirt, you could see that there's a star-nosed mole.
He's actually pretty cute.
Yeah, pretty interesting looking, right?
Star-nosed moles have a very unique look. Their large pink nose has 22 finger-like tentacles that they use to feel for food in the dark tunnels where they live.
What we don't see that you need special high-speed video to see is that they're actually tapping very rapidly the surface.
Compared to our fingertips, the mole star has 10 times more nerve cells.
It's much more sensitive than the human hand.
That lack of sensitivity in human skin is what makes it difficult to study pain, because our nerve endings are so spread out. We also have about 20 different kinds of nerve cells. Some detect pain, some detect light touch, others detect hot and cold.
And so it's very difficult to study one in isolation or to separate the pain cells from the light touch cells.
That's where the star-nosed mole comes in. Its star is densely packed with light touch cells, but not a lot of pain cells. So Bautista says studying tissue samples of the mole star can reveal the differences between nerve cells.
How does one cell feel the prick of the pin and the other feel the feather? We don't know what happens in those nerve endings.
Bautista says knowing what happens in normal nerve cells can tell a lot about when nerves don't work normally, like when diabetes patients experience numbness or cancer patients have hypersensitivity. That comes down to the biochemistry inside the cells. For that, Bautista is also studying another organism.
These are Szechuan peppers that are from the Chinese prickly ash.
For this demonstration, I volunteer to be the subject.
Get a few of the berries, and if you just chew them a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, it's like a little bit numbing.
Yeah, it feels like a little buzzing, tingling sensation.
The peppercorns aren't hot, but they do have chemicals that are working on my sense of touch.
We know that they target special receptors and cause those nerves to be excited, just as if somebody was tickling your tongue.
Bautista says that's a trick that humans could copy.
By identifying the molecular mechanisms, we could really go in and design better drugs and come up with better therapies and alternatives for treating conditions like chronic pain.
Bautista hopes the research will lead to more targeted pain drugs, so patients like Maddie Burkhart will have an easier recovery. For the California Report, I'm Lauren Sommer.
We've got video of the star-nosed mole in action online at californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Thursday, July 28th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children. The California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. And URS Corporation, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical services to public agencies and private companies. URScorp.com.